Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Cholamandalam Investment and Finance Company Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Kotak Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nischint Chawathe from Kotak Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nirav. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the earnings conference call of Cholamandalam Investment and Finance Company Limited. We have with us the senior management of Chola today to discuss the 3Q FY23 performance. Management is represented by Mr. Vellayan Subbiah, Chairman and Non-Executive Director, Mr. Ravindra Kundu, Executive Director, and Mr. Arul Selvan, President and CFO. I would now like to hand over the call to Vellayan for his opening comments, after which we'll take Q&A. Thanks.
Nischint, thanks so much. Good morning, everybody. I know everybody's waiting for the budget at 11:00. I think from Chola's perspective, there is cause to celebrate in that our total AUM crossed the milestone of 100,000 crore. That's up by 31% year-on-year. This has been a target for the company for a while, so we're glad to achieve that target and to celebrate it. That's a quick start. Disbursements basically are at 17,559 crore for the quarter, up by 68%, and 45,512 crore for the year to date, up by 100% Y-on-Y. Obviously, the year-on-year comparisons are gonna look a bit skewed because of the COVID quarter last year. Total AUM is at 103,789 crore. That's up by 31%. The net income margin is up at 1,832 for the quarter, up 22%, and 5,169 crore for the year, up by 21%. The PAT is 684 crore for the quarter. That's up by 31%, and 1,813 crore for the year. That's up by 24% year-on-year. The board of directors today announced the unaudited financial results for the quarter and nine months ending 31st December 2022. Chola has delivered the best ever disbursements, collections, and profitability in Q3 FY23. We have gained market share across product segments in vehicle finance and other business units. Sale of commercial vehicles are expected to come close to the pre-pandemic peak of over 1 million units in FY23 due to improved fleet utilizations, strong replacement demand, and pickup in the road construction projects across the country. Despite high inflation and high interest rates, strong festive season sales and workforce returning to the metro cities has helped drive growth. The housing market has also been very strong. Aggregate disbursements in Q3 FY23 were at 17,559 crore as against 10,430 crore in Q3 FY22, a growth of 68%. VF vehicle finance disbursements were at 10,446 as against 7,647, a growth of 37%. LAP disbursed 2,225 as against 1,661, a growth of 36%. Home loans, which is affordable home loans and affordable LAP, disbursed 1,072 as against 539 for the quarter. That's a growth of 99%. SME disbursed 1,782, registering a growth of 273% over 478 crores in the same quarter previous year. CSEL, a new business, consumer and small enterprise loan, disbursed 1,868 crores for the quarter. Secured business and personal loans disbursed 137 crores. Our total assets under management stood at 103,789 crores. Our PBT ROA was at 3.8% for the year to date and 3.8% for the quarter and 3.6% year to date. ROE was 19.1% year to date. Company continues to hold a strong liquidity position with 7,396 crores as cash balance and a total liquidity position of 10,000 crores, including undrawn lines. ALM is comfortable with no negative cumulative mismatches across all time buckets. Consolidated PAT was at 685 crores compared to 528 crores in the same quarter. Board of Directors approved an interim dividend payment of 65%, being ₹1.30 per share on the equity shares of the company. And in terms of asset quality, Stage 3 assets stood at 3.51% with a provision coverage of 40.96, as against 3.84 at the end of September 2022. Total provisions currently carried against the overall book is 2.45% as against the normal overall provision levels of 1.75% carried prior to COVID-19. So we feel quite comfortable there. As per revised RBI norms, GNPA and NNPA stood at 5.37 and 3.69% respectively. We carry 726 crores of higher provisions under Ind AS over IRAC. And the capital adequacy of the company was at 17.75% as against the regulatory requirement of 15. Tier 1 capital was at 15.12. So let me stop with that, and we're happy to turn it over to you for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. I request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. If time permits, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The first question is from the line of Abhijit Agrawal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning everyone. Congratulations on a very good quarter. So just 2 questions here. First thing is on the competitive landscape, how should we look at it, particularly in vehicle financing? How are kind of banks behaving? Are we able to take IRR increases on the incremental disbursements that we're doing? This is in the context of the fact that on a QQ basis, we have seen about a 10 basis points expansion in vehicle financing yields. While if we kind of look at your blended yields, expanded by about 30 basis points. Obviously, understand that's got to do with the LAP and the home loan business and the newer businesses that you got into. So that's one thing I kind of wanted to understand, that I mean, you've been kind of able to deliver almost steady, stable margins in this quarter. So what's led to that? And the second thing was on the OPEX. So it's a little counterintuitive that the employee expenses are actually growing in proportion with our disbursements. So is that the right way to kind of look at it, or is there something else in terms of teams that you are building out in your newer businesses which is leading to this high employee expenses?
Yes. Hi, good morning, Abhijit.
Morning, sir.
See, the case of vehicle finance, if you see that there are 3 product lines, mainly in the commercial vehicle segment, heavy commercial vehicle, lights and small. And we have been, leader in lights and small, which is our area of focus. In addition to that, we do tractor, used car, two-wheeler, other product. The banks are competitive in the segment of heavy commercial vehicle mainly, and they take maximum share in that segment, which is actually a rate-sensitive product. And for us, it is not a priority as of now. We mentioned that we will do it with respect to our own existing customer in the market where we are comfortable. And another thing is that the heavy commercial vehicle still is driven by the large fleet operator and medium fleet operator. The SRTO, the small road transport operator, has not come back to the market. They are still buying the used vehicle, which is actually good for us because we are the leader in the used vehicle business as well. So that is the product mix we are doing it. In terms of overall market is actually doing very well in terms of commercial vehicle. So both the players, like, you know, those who are in top of the pyramid players and the middle of the pyramid players, all are getting benefited because it is getting distributed by the product and by the segments with respect to the segment which we want to do it. And that is how we are able to manage the better yield in the business. Now, coming to the OPEX, OPEX is actually, in terms of ratio, it is looking high because our disbursement growth is basically significantly higher and we need to, you know, spend money on account of, you know, variable pay for the disbursement, wherein the asset growth is 30%. So, till such time when the disbursement and asset growth doesn't come together at same level in tandem to that, you will see that little bit OPEX is high. But at the company level, OPEX is also high because we have expanded our business in terms of new businesses and also, you know, deployed a lot of things into technology side also. So all those things is going to get, you know, matured and we will be getting benefited on account of OPEX in next 1 year time. And you will see that will add our ROA as well.
But then just one last question here. I mean, at least in terms of newer businesses, the disbursement trajectory that we are seeing is improving. So, I mean, is it fair to kind of conclude that, I mean, based on whatever early delinquencies, collections that you are seeing in the three newer lines of businesses, that's giving you comfort to kind of keep scaling it up and kind of improve the momentum going ahead?
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right. In fact, our delinquency in this new business are significantly lower than the trend what we see in the market for the same business done by the other finance company. But however, we have only done 1 year, so we need to wait for that. And the way the, you know, bounce rates are there or the other delinquencies are seen now, we can say that our new business portfolio is significantly doing better.
Perfect, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. I will come back in the question queue and all the very best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Umang Shah from Kotak Mahindra. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question and congratulations to the team for a very strong quarter. I have two questions. One is on the asset quality front. So if I look at our gross stage 3 numbers or GNPA under the new IRAC norms, gross stage 3 or NPA numbers appear to be fairly steady or sticky in absolute terms for last 4 quarters, whereas we are seeing fairly good rollbacks in our stage 1 and stage 2 buckets. So how should we read into this, that are NPLs getting more stickier, or just wanted to get some sense given that the overall collection efficiencies are fairly strong at this point of time?
Yeah, historically, if you see that, first 3 quarters of the year is always better for stage 1 and stage 2. Stage 3, we get a maximum, you know, performance in the Q4 because first 3 quarters is a difficult quarter for the customers to pay 2 installments or 3 installments to roll back from 5th bucket to below 3 bucket. So obviously we continue to keep them between 3 to 4 bucket, and then when it comes to the 4 quarter and the customers start earning more money, then they start, you know, giving us the higher installment and roll back their account. But good thing is that if you see, you know, the Q, you know, stage 3, normally it goes up in during the Q2 and Q3, which has not gone up in this year. It has been coming down, but it has not come down significantly. If you see the last year performance or last to last year performance, you will be able to see that the same thing has happened in the past. This year, in fact, is actually performing better because we are now, you know, driving 2A, 2B and 1A, 1B also. Therefore, we have been successful in holding the, you know, roll forward rate. Our X bucket roll forward in vehicle finance is actually less than 0.45%, which is significantly lower than what it used to be in the past. So I can tell you that, you know, the Q4 performance will actually show you a better result in terms of stage 3 reduction.
Okay, that's helpful. And so the second question is related to our home equity business. So both from disbursements as well as credit cost perspective needed some outlook. So our home equity disbursements again for past 3 quarters appear to be fairly range bound, and credit costs are kind of near zero for the first 9 month period, right? So profitability clearly is far more superior compared to what we have seen in past few years. So both from growth as well as profitability perspective, how should we look at this business over next 1 to 2 years? Just wanted some outlook on that. Thanks.
So, home equity in the previous year, we had our stage 3 a little bit higher, which we started, roll back, and our stage 3 reduction is on a continuous basis in a very good position. For example, in last 9 months, we have reduced from 7.95% to 4.76%, which is about 300 basis points of reduction, which is reflecting in the almost close to zero credit cost. And in terms of our business growth, we used to have some 250 to 300 branches, which is now at 570 branches. So on that perspective, our expansion in tier 3, tier 4 cities is going good, and we continue to see this happening. And both disbursements friends, we see the business expansion and the numbers growing up. From a credit cost, maybe next year onwards, we can see it will not be zero, but it will have a very minimal credit cost, which is acceptable levels, and our stage 3 will continue to be coming down from this levels.
Understood. The home equity disbursements are not getting classified into any other head, right? Because the branch expansion or the redistribution expansion doesn't seem to be reflecting into the disbursement numbers. So that's what I wanted to understand.
And the disbursement numbers are flat.
So the disbursements are flat, definitely. But what is happening in the case of loan against property, when we expand it to the smaller geography, the number of loans goes up, the ticket size starts coming down. That is actually good for the construct of the business in the beginning. And then after that, when you further go up and, consolidated the business in the tier 3, tier 4 town, then you will see the, higher growth coming up. So we are comfortable with this kind of growth in the beginning because we are creating the foundation of doing the LAP against property, loan against property in the tier 3, tier 4 town.
It is a 56% and
Next year also we will see growth.
Just want to give you perspective. From quarter on quarter, it is about 36-40% growth is happening, and this growth will happen at a 40-45%.
Yeah, no, he's just asking sequential quarters. Three quarters have been flattish.
Yeah.
Will be growth next year. Okay, we understand what your question is. Right, Ravi explained the cause of it, and there will be growth in the book next year. So we're not reassigning it anywhere else, to your question.
Understood.
Your question is whether reassigning it to home loans? No, Prashant is responsible for the loan growth.
All right, yeah, that was my question. Thank you so much, and wish you good luck. Thanks.
Yeah, we're not reassigning anywhere.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Piran Engineer from CLSA India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on the quarter. Just a couple of questions. Firstly, just want to understand management's thought process in, ramping up the new businesses, because typically in the past we've seen that when you all enter business, you all go slow for a few years, be it home loans, tractors, two-wheelers, and then ramp up. But in this case, what we've seen is that in 4 quarters, it has, grown multifold. So really just want to get a sense of, the psychology underlying this.
So we mentioned in the last quarter also that, when we are starting the consumer loan, which is PL and PL, you see the overall industry size. And as against the overall industry size, even for this quarter also, we saw our market share is hardly 0.8% or 0.9%. And if we want to do this business and expand it, we have 1,700 touch point in vehicle finance. As of now, we are in less than 50% in the case of the PSEL. And if they are having one person also across the 600, 700 branches, they need to basically do the business there, and that giving them, 400, 500 crore disbursement, which is, per person, per manager, 1 crore disbursement, which is very significantly lower number compared to the competitors what they are doing it. So, and this much business is required to be done. Where in the case of two-wheeler, you see the two-wheeler market, we are doing, say, 200 crore disbursement, and say 5 years back, we used to do, say, 50 crore business. We were doing 50 crore as against the overall industry size of, say, 500 crore. That time we were taking the 10% market share. But in the case of PLBL, we are taking hardly 1% market share, but the market is large. So therefore, it is actually not an apple-to-apple comparison if you compare the PL business, PLBL business versus the two-wheeler business done by us in the past. We are actually fundamentally maintaining the same cautious approach towards the PLBL and not going to mini market where we saw VF has a little problem, like, you know, mini market has the higher bounce rate and all. So we are not going aggressively.
The only thing I would add to that is that, you know, we are also much more comfortable now with our modeling and, you know, indicators, right, and kind of using our, you know, our ED and kind of, you know, non-SARA data, kind of using our bounce data and using our analytics to get comfort with the scale at which we're growing, right? So that's a constant kind of check that we have in place. So we're taking, we have that comfort now because we've had that experience with previous businesses in the past.
Absolutely. And in the case of like two-wheeler or construction equipment, a lot of business to be done under the NTC, where in the case of PLBL, we are not even doing any NTC. It is 100% scorecard based and in anything less than, full right?
96% of customers are more than 700 plus credits.
Just speak a little loudly.
So the consumer lending business, as on today, 96% of the customers whom we have acquired in the last 1 year are with a credit score of more than 700 plus.
Got it. That helps. And just secondly, sir, you had also mentioned that, you know, our delinquency or bounce rates in these new businesses are lower than what it is for peers. So what really would you attribute this to? Is it, you know, geography selection, customer selection, some different underwriting processes, collection processes? You know, according to you, what has contributed to this outcome?
So I'll just answer it. We have our credit model, our the underwriting is completely digital. Every aspect is covered, whether it is on the, you know, it's complete digital underwriting process and all the rule engines are applied. Credit scores, deviations are strictly monitored. That is point number one. As I said in the beginning, 700 plus minimum credit scores, very rarely there is approval authority at any level. Our current efficiency is 99.72% on the current bucket, and our bounce rates are sub 5%, which is today the best in the industry. Our first EMI bounces are sub 3% with 100% clearance in the month-on-month basis.
So specific to the ACL, they have come with a, you know, concept of first EMI bounce collection by the sales team, which is very rare in the industry. As of now, our bounce rate is also much lower, so it is easy to basically get credit collected by the sales team. All the sales teams are, you know, collecting it, and also before the first EMI hit, all of these customers are being met by the sales team to basically, you know, educate them that this is check is going to sit in your account and you need to get it clear. So there are very specific way of managing short buckets by the CSL is going on, because we know that this is a area where we did not do better in 2005 and 7. So we are going double cautious.
Okay, that helps. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict to two questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Shweta Daptardar from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. So two questions from my side. So you had guided earlier AUM growth of 20-22%. You have already surpassed that. So does your growth outlook guidance change? And secondly, if I look at vehicle finance net income margins, so of course here you have lesser scope to actually reprice. So how has the repricing happened there, both on the liabilities and asset side? Thank you.
So
on the growth, yeah, we are now looking in the range of around 27-30% growth. We will keep it there for the time being. for this financial year. On the margins, see, the vehicle finance, as the proportion of the new book changes, the NIM improvements will be visible. So it will take another 3 to 4 quarters before the overall book, changes to the new rates. So that will happen progressively.
So just one related question. So despite slight pressures on the vehicle finance net income margins, we have really come out well on the overall blended NIM front. So that's also because your other businesses are contributing. So going forward, shall we expect the NIM to remain sort of steady to better the way we saw this particular quarter?
Yeah, the NIMs we will be monitoring. Yes, we are confident it will hold. There will be, as I was telling in the last few calls also, we will have the 40 to 50 basis points hit on account of cost of funds on a year-on-year basis. But that we are trying to mitigate by scaling up the pricing in our floating rate books, which is the LAP and HL, which we have already done to the extent of around 160 basis points with regard to LAP and 120 basis points with regard to HL. We see it is like we shouldn't kill the golden goose, scaling it up too much. So we don't want to do another 40 basis points, which we are contemplating. We will see what are the MPC results announcements in the next week and then take a call on scaling further. But right now we are comfortable. On the other side, on the cost of funds, we are constantly negotiating with banks, etc., to bring down the cost of funds as much as possible. We are seized with the issues of the maintaining NIM. We will work on it and we'll keep it. The good part is it is also compensated by the NCL reductions which will happen. So as I said, the mix of products, mix of businesses, we have to not focus on one single line item. We have to look at the ROTA in its entirety. ROTA 3.5 plus is a sort of a commitment we stick to. We will work on.
Thank you. Shweta, I'll request you to come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. Next question is from the line of Nidesh Jain from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Firstly, sir, on the margins, if I look at segmental margins, there is a 40 basis points sequential drop in vehicle finance, which is around 65% of the book. And margins on home equity and home loan have remained broadly stable on a sequential basis. So what explains overall margin being flat despite 40 basis points compression on vehicle finance margins?
Yeah, this is just now our CFO mentioned that vehicle finance is a fixed book and other businesses are floating. In the case of LAP, HL and SME, we are able to basically increase the book yield by increasing the yield. Wherein in the vehicle finance, the marginal book yield has gone up as compared to last same period. But for the overall book, it will take little time. It takes 2 to 3 quarters when we start seeing that the overall book is also getting benefited in terms of marginal book yield increase. So that is what is happening. What we are interested more into the ROA to be delivered at a 3.5% plus, which will be combination of NIM and also the OPEX and also the NCL. So as of now, our focus is more to reduce the NCL and trying to, what my CFO said, that he's negotiating with the banks to keep the cost of fund low. At the same time, we are trying to increase our marginal book yield in vehicle finance. And in the case of vehicle finance, used businesses is going to help us to increase the yields.
I was trying to understand the calculation, because if I look on 65% of the book, there is a 40 basis point decline in margins. On roughly housing loan and LAP, which is around 20% of the book, there is a flattish margins on a sequential basis. So the entire margin has been
it's a little complicated thing. If you again go to the liability side, almost 40% of our liability side is fixed with regard to securities book, with regard to NCDs, CPs, Tier 2, etc. Only 60% is in the banking segment, which is in a way floating. So actually, if you look at it, there's only a 20% gap between the 60% fixed on the other side and the 40% fixed on the liability side. That's what we need to manage. This is exactly what we will manage by you know, if you require by requesting and you know negotiating with the banks to keep some parts of this increase down. So we can't you know get into the too much of these nitty-gritties. Broadly look at it that way. This is the thing. It's not like the entire liability side is floating.
Sure. And secondly, on the new initiatives, if you can share specifically on the unsecured side, what will be our comfort level in terms of AUM mix over medium term, and how much of the unsecured book will be in the flexi format, which is basically not in the term loan format, but in the format where customer can use it as a credit limit.
So as of now, we are not doing any flexi. 80% is term loan only. And also, we have been mentioning that we are into pilot phase in terms of PLBL business, and it will take time. Unless we reach out to the pan-India level and try out PLBL everywhere, in all three models, traditional model and D2C model and as well as our DST model, will not be in position to predict what is the mix of the business for coming from, you know, diesel business. We are comfortable the way things are moving as of now, and let us actually, you know, drive this business. Like that's what is our, you know, expectation that we will continue to drive in the same manner. As of now, we are doing say 600 crore business. Last quarter we did say 400 crore. So that increase is happening every quarter, and we will continue to do it for some more time.
Sure, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Jignesh Sehgal. From Incred Capital, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Just quick two questions. One, we are seeing a bit of a reshuffle. This is for Arun sir. A bit of a change in the overall liability mix, whereby you know, a pure bank, and we are able to see from 58 to 52 sequentially, if I'm seeing it correct. So, any particular strategy we are looking forward to, just to you know manage margins, or how do we see it going forward? That is my first question.
See, the mix is moving from term loan from banks to securitization. The securitization has moved up. So what is happening is during the last years when bank term loan rates were very low, we could really push down based on a benchmark rate. We used that and we could move down the cost. Now what we are doing is we are securitizing priority sector assets and able to keep it. Ultimately, lender profile is more or less same, but we are, and securitization is a fixed rate book, a fixed rate. So those and the ability to negotiate us to slightly tighter rates because of the priority sector appetite in the market, in the banking sector, we are moving that side. You would have seen our securitization, we have done almost
And the 2% gain in FCNR is also coming from the banks.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the other 6%. It's not a 6% drop, it's a 4% drop. Because the 2% gain in FCNR.
So, I mean, this reshuffle, I mean, should we expect this to stay for a while and the rate remains elevated, or this will be again reshuffled? Changing quite a bit in quarterly basis. That is what I actually really wanted to understand.
We will be looking at every opportunity at different points in time. We are looking at more securitization this quarter also, because normally Q4 there will be larger appetite from banks on securitization for their year end targets. We are also exploring other avenues. Right now it's a little premature to talk about this.
Understood. Thanks. And second question was, I mean, there is one slide which reflects quite well that, you know, now Chola is almost present to all segments of SME and SME. If you can give me some more details about or elaboration about the cross-sell fantasy that Chola is able to see it up. I mean, if I see it correct, that new initiatives had been, you know, earlier whenever discussion happened, but to the existing set of customers also, a lot of same customer base would be given the opportunity into the new lending segment as well. So if I want to see it as a cross-sell franchise, or if you can give me some clarity and some guidance how of the total customer base would be repetitive customers and all, that would be really helpful if some data can be shared on that part. Thank you. That's it from my side.
So with that intent only, if you see that, we have created another ecosystem called SME ecosystem in addition to the vehicle ecosystem, auto ecosystem. So auto ecosystem, we have a series of the vehicles starting from two-wheeler to heavy commercial vehicle. In the SME, we have similarly, you know, the SCNP micro, which is we call it SBPL. From there too, we are kind of, you know, addressing the SME. But it's too early to basically, you know, do the cross-sell from this end because we are in the pilot phase, as I mentioned, for each new business starting from SBPL, CSCL, and also SME in addition to the, you know, affordable housing loan. But at some point in time, you will see that we are going to do, you know, this cross-sell. But before that, we need to establish our data analytics team and understand that what kind of customers we need to give additional loan in order to give them cross-selling.
And the first wave of growth in any case is coming from the presence in the new and the broader presence in the new verticals, right? So the second can then be once you've got enough of a customer base in both on all these three ecosystems, then we can look at cross-sell. But we get enough of a lift right now just from the growth in the new verticals itself.
Understood. So the basically the second phase of specifically on the new vertical side can happen through, you know, the existing set of customers across different segments, I mean, different your lending segments. Is that a fair assumption then?
Obviously.
Sorry to interrupt you, Jignesh. I'll request to come back in the question queue. I request to all the participants, please restrict to one question per participant. If time permit, please come back in the question queue. Next question is from the line of Chandrasekhar from Fidelity. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Just curious to understand one, what's happening on the cost to assets on the home loan business. This is now a 7,300 crore book, and the cost seem pretty much like some of a comparable affordable housing financials, or in fact, more. So maybe just something around that. And then on the new businesses, how much are we sourcing from, you know, traditional versus partnership channels, and now, and maybe it's just worthwhile, given the size now, publishing maybe an ROA tree so that we can get some sense on the expenses which are going in that segment. Thank you.
So as far as home loan is concerned, we have piloted this product first in South, and then we scale to different geos as we always have done, and for other products. Similarly for home loan, now we are spreading our wings in West, East and North. The expansion is actually yielding in net growth in terms of book value and the last mile. As of now, we are present at 462 branches across India, where vehicle finance is around at 1700 touch bases. So over a period of time, this expansion will yield to target customers and overall growth will come. So as of now, the slight increase in cost is due to the expansion of the branches and manpower.
As far as the new initiative, this CSCL business, are mixed between...
Two-third of our business is coming from traditional and one-third is from the partnership. In the last quarter, out of 1868, 1300 crores came from our traditional business and 568 came from our partnership business. And we intend to keep that... During the growth phase also, we tend to keep that levels.
And in terms of the ROA tree, I think it's too early. Let the businesses kind of grow, get through this growth phase a bit more, then we'll start sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Preeti RS from UTI Asset Management. Please go ahead. Preeti, may I request you to unmute your line from your side and go ahead with a question, please. Due to no response, we move to the next participant. Next question is from the line of Bhavesh Kanani from ASK. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. So my question is related to the business-wise disclosures we are giving. How does it work really when we kind of build out those P&Ls for individual business in terms of the money that gets allocated to various businesses? This is in context of the earlier question on how a large part of the book that is vehicle finance has seen a little bit of margin contraction, So let's say we have 100 rupees worth of resources at company level. How does the allocation of those resources transfer pricing happen? And is there, whatever is the excess liquidity and whatever will be part of the treasury operations, how is that summing up happening, if you can throw some light on that?
Yeah, we follow a transfer price mechanism based on the, you know, duration gap of the asset side of each of the book. We take the average tenor of the book, and accordingly we take the pricing in the market and give them the pricing based as a transfer price based on which they price their yields. Then the transfer price is maintained for the P&L purpose, while treasury will try and borrow lesser or at a lesser cost or, you know, depending on market availability. And that is determined as the treasury's efficiency of either borrowing lesser at a lesser cost or a higher cost. And the liquidity kept is also taken to the treasuries, you know, because they earn on the investment of it. So that is kept in the treasury's account.
Okay. Thank you. That answers my question.
Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Param from Macquarie Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. It's again related to a previous participant's question. So basically, you know, we are seeing margin being maintained despite a 40 basis point decline in vehicle finance. So if we, you know, work backwards, it seems to indicate that the margin in the new business has gone up substantially quarter on quarter. So is that correct? And why is that happening?
LAP and
HL also margins are moved up because such there, in spite of the cost of an increase, because they increase the yields on the entire book, their margins have remained flat and it has not shown up. And as I was saying, look at it more from a ROTA angle. The vehicle finance book had, because there the cost of funds is going up, the yield on the existing book has not grown commensurately. There you will have a
drop. Sir, I get that, but in the margins that you're reporting for the LAP and home loan businesses, they are up only like 10 basis points, whereas the vehicle finance is down 40 basis points. Yeah, quarter on quarter.
They are maintaining it because of the increase they made on the book. No, sorry, I'm not following your question. Like they increase, the cost of an increases and their yield increases. So the difference there is much lesser. While in the vehicle finance, the cost of an increase is there, and only on the marginal book the yield is increasing, on the existing book yield is not increasing.
Okay, sir. So I'll probably take this offline. Anyway, so my next question, sir, is on the recoveries from you know, your repo sales. If I'm reading from a P&L, it's about 50 crore for this quarter. You know, it's been trending at that level for the last two or three quarters. How sustainable do you think this line is, and going forward, will you be able to maintain this?
On the top line.
Yeah, where are you seeing this?
You are looking at
which page, yeah?
You are talking about the in the OPEX line, the recoveries?
No. So the on the top line, other operating income.
Okay. Other
operating income includes fee income, with capital and fee income. Yeah, it is going to be
fee income is sustainable.
It is going to be you know, in line with the disbursement growth and you know, income growth.
And it is amortized.
And it is also amortized.
This is not a, I just wanted to clarify, this is not recoveries from return of accounts or repo sales.
No.
It is not a return.
There will be a small quantum in that where the return of book income will also come as a shortfall recovery, but that's not the large part of this income.
Thank you. Param, sorry to interrupt you. I'll request to come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. Next question is from the line of Preeti RS from UTI Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking the question.
My question is on the HCV book and vehicle portfolio. So today it stands at 7% versus peak share of 19%. And even in terms of disbursements, it's a little more than a third of its peak disbursements in Q4 of FIT. So is that a conscious strategy or it's the market setup or the competition?
What book? Can you speak a little loudly?
Yeah, what book are you saying? What is your question? I can't
hear. The heavy commercial vehicle book.
Heavy commercial vehicle, you're asking.
Is it a strategy to keep it this
way? Yeah, yeah. I mentioned in the beginning itself that heavy commercial vehicle is the area where the banks are operating more aggressively. And also in the heavy commercial vehicle, there are two segments that are only operating, coming for the purchase, large fleet operator and medium fleet operator. The SRTOs are still not buying. They are buying the used vehicle. And our focus has been into the SRTO and the used more. And therefore, if you see that our portfolio mix is 7%, but the disbursement mix of HCV within the vehicle finance is 5%, which is by default it is coming like that. But we are expecting that the next year, after the entire market is actually coming back, like agriculture growth and infrastructure growth in place, then SRTO will also buy the new vehicle, and obviously that point in time we will start doing HCV.
Okay.
Having said that, in HCV also we have grown as compared to the last quarter to this quarter. Our market share has gone up as of now. If you see that, that is also there in the page number 36. We are growing higher than the market. But our disbursement growth in the past, disbursement trend in the past was higher. That's the reason you see that the rundown is more and therefore our disbursement mix is lower.
Okay, got it. Yeah, the question is also because the market has come back, like you rightly said, so we are actually probably at FY19 run rate, but our disbursements haven't come back. So,
Going up. If you see the page number 36, you will be able to see our growth has been 62% in HCV, wherein the market is grown by 42%.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for that.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anurag Mantri from East Bridge Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Just one thing on the vehicle finance P&L. Just wanted to understand, how the credit costs sort of trend from here. So versus the first half there, I think the credit costs were about close to 2%. They've actually now come down to sub 1%. Is this sort of the new normal run rate that we're looking at going forward, or how should we think about it?
Yeah, see, Q3 and Q4 always have been a better quarter for vehicle finance. We continue to maintain the same thing that the first quarter is a lean period for vehicle finance and the second quarter is the rainy season. Third quarter is a festival season. Although the market start earning more money, customers start earning more money, but they don't come and pay. In spite of that, we have been successful in getting better result in Q3, but Q4 will be better than Q3.
The other thing is, in Q1 and Q2, we had a larger amount of repossessions and sale because last year we could not repossess and sell due to courts putting a freeze on repossessions. It was explained in the calls last year, in the first and second quarter. Now we have come back to normalcy.
Got it. So this level is effectively what we can think of as a full year normalized level. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rikin Shah from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I had just two questions. First one was on the employee headcount. So of course, it has gone up in line with getting into the new businesses. But would you be able to share the plans in terms of how many more employees would we need to add over the course of next 2-3 years to kind of roll out all the new business products from most of the branches? That's point number one. And question number two is more like data keeping. Just wanted to get a split of restructured loan book between stage 1, 2, and 3 as of for December.
Yeah, so we mentioned that in the new business we are in the pilot phase and we have reached only 50% of the vehicle finance touch point and we are growing. So therefore, you will see that continuously this growth will continue to happen in terms of branch expansion for the new business, and therefore obviously we'll add headcounts. Headcounts are based on the business plan, individually they are planning, so we are not as of now interested to, you know, disclose that. In the case of restructured book,
Restructured book right now is around, total it is around 2,800 crores. At peak it was around 5,000 crores. Now we have brought it down to 2,800 crores. This is because by multiple things, some could is due to resolution and moving back to stage one once they collect more than 30% of the outstanding as per the RBI norm, and some through repossessions and settlement and closures of that run-down.
So the 2,800 crore is completely sitting in stage 1 and 2. Nothing is now slipped
into
stage 2.
Some part of it will be in stage 3 if they have moved to down. I think around 31 crores is in... 500 crores is in stage 3.
2,000 crore is in stage 2, 500 crore in stage 3.
And 250.
And 259 crore in stage 1.
Perfect, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pranju Shah from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question, sir. So just in line of previous participant had asked about the credit cost. Now you're saying that it will trend below that 1% mark. This quarter was 0.7. And your NIMs also should hold up because your new disbursements are picking up. So PBT ROTA, do you think you should be comfortably able to maintain at that 4% mark for 4Q and beyond for F24 also, especially if your OPEX also comes off?
That is up to you to rework. I am giving commitment of 3.5% in the book. Okay.
At the overall
level. It is your liberty to rework what you want.
It actually fluctuates quarter on quarter.
Q4
number, NCL number will be better than Q3. But in again Q1, it goes up and Q2 goes up as the market is starting, you know. Flowing down. Then again Q3 will improve. But what is important is that we are consistently delivering the ROA at an overall number, and vehicle finance is trying their best to basically do 4% is actually much high, but our internal target is between 3.5 to 4%. Depend upon situation.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Alpesh from IFL Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning and thanks for taking my question. Just two questions. First is, I'm sorry to come back to this margin question, but if 65% of the book seeing 40 basis points kind of a decline on a QOQ basis, around 20% of the book is flattish. So, and the overall book is showing a flat margin on a quarter-on-quarter basis, then logically speaking, yeah, the new businesses should have contributed materially to the margins, or there could have been some treasury changes. So what explains this? Because we are unable to reconcile this 40 basis points decline for the 65% of the book.
Okay, I'll tell you what, let's take one other question. In the meanwhile, let's try and see if we can kind of get some kind of a ROTA breakdown to kind of explain this, because this question has been asked multiple times. Let's take the another question. In the meanwhile, we'll work on that and then kind of come back to you in the next.
Thanks. Thanks, sir. And the second question is related again to the new businesses. So while we are building up quite fast, and some of these businesses are yet to go through the credit cycle, right? The initial signs are definitely, and obviously also supported by the macros. The initial signs are purely reflecting a better credit cost kind of experience. But right, when we are giving a guidance of 3.5% ROTA, and currently for the 9 months, we are almost at 3.6, 3.7. So, in case there is some deterioration in the asset quality, while it would have been largely priced in via higher yields, but in case there is any deterioration in the asset quality in new businesses, what could compensate for the higher credit cost in FY24 P&L? Would that be operating leverage, or you have the leeway available to improve the pricing there?
Okay, so we'll come back to the FY24. So you have two parts, right? Kind of one is trying to understand what happened in FY23. Second is, what are the implications for FY24, correct?
Yes. Because that's why typically what happens that in some of these businesses, when you build up the initial being a higher yield business and the initial science and slightly a higher duration book, the upfront profitability is slightly on a higher side since the credit cost experience is not built in into the earnings. But as you go through the credit cycle, obviously the credit cost will go up. And so what could compensate for the higher credit cost and in 9 months your ROTA is still at around 3.6, 3.7. So what could compensate for that higher credit cost in FY24? I'm just trying to understand that. Because that seems to be a significant rising pressure on the vehicle finance book and the LAP book considering the competitive intensity. And obviously the credit cost experience is quite good this year in those portfolios as well.
Alpesh, so first Arul is going to answer your question on what happened this year, right? And then let's get that clarified because this question has been asked 3 times. And then I'll answer your question on kind of what is going to happen for next year. Okay?
Sure. Thank you. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. What we have said is, well, the LAP has increased their cost, their yield to by around 160 basis points and HL has increased by 120 basis points. That constitutes more than 40% of the the other part...
I'm sorry to interrupt you here. What we are trying to understand, 65% of the book, I'm not getting into a yield or a cost discussion here. What we are saying that on a reported basis, 65% of your book has seen a 40 basis points QOQ drop in margins. 20% of your...
Sorry, are you talking about margins or yield?
We are talking about the margins. We are talking about the net interest margin, which is 40 basis points down in the vehicle finance. Overall book is flat QOQ and the other businesses are also kind of flat on a QOQ. So what explains this difference when 65% of the book is showing a 40 basis points drop in the margins QOQ?
Then other businesses have gone up. So why don't you go to the NIM page here? Just, Shyam, just show the NIM Excel spreadsheet.
Excel,
you have the Excel NIM by business. Huh? Yeah, so here's a sense, right, which is if you take the LAP NIM, right, YTD, it has gone from 4.82 to 5.46.
Okay.
So that is a 70 basis point increase. Similarly, home loans has gone from 7.59 to 8.02. That's another 43 basis points increase. That's offset by vehicle, which has come from 8.67 to 8.48, which is a 21% decrease. Okay, so if you take a weighted average of those three, you actually end up with, and the fact that the new businesses also have had an increasing NIM, you end up with a weighted average NIM of 7.79 moving to 7.69. So that's why, but I'm still confused. Is that answering your question or not?
No, it's not. It's not. So if we let me just... let me just go by the presentation. Slide number 21. The overall net income margin that you have reported.
Yeah.
Which is 2Q FY23 7.6. 3Q FY23 7.6. Okay, this is at the overall company level, we are flat on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Now, if I come to the vehicle finance margin, which would be, I guess, on the page slide number, just one second. The numbers that you have reported. It's on slide number 45.
The NIM at an YTD level has dropped by
20 basis points.
No, I'm not talking about YTD. I'm talking about quarter on quarter, 2Q versus 3Q.
Okay.
Which is slide number 45. This is dropped by 40 basis points. This is almost 65% of the AUM. Your overall portfolio is flat at 7.6 quarter on quarter. Now, if I come to the loan against property business, which is kind of hardly 10 basis points improvement, slide number 53.
5.4,
right. And if I come to the home loan business, again, the slide number 61, 7.9 and 8%. So the two businesses, which is loan against property and home loan, which would be roughly, I'm just rounding off the numbers, around 25% of the AUM, there we have seen 10 basis points improvement. 65% of the AUM is seeing 40 basis points decline, whereas our overall margins which are reported is 7.6 flat QOQ.
Right, but the 7.6 is down from 8.2, no?
No, you are not considering the CSEL business, SME business and the treasury profitability. See, you, these are not the sum of that is reflected there. You are seeing three businesses.
Guys, I'll tell you.
I think we need to, if you want, you come over or we can get on a call and we can discuss.
But the point, so Alpesh, I think that might be easiest because it's tough to solve like this. But the net income margin from Q3 FY22 has dropped by 60 basis points.
The difference over here, what is coming is 2Q FY23 versus 3Q FY23 rather than 2Q FY22 to 3Q FY23.
Yeah, so sequentially, you have to also consider, in addition to these three businesses, LAP and HL, you need to also consider
the new business.
SBPL, CSEL, and SME, and Treasury.
And Treasury.
All four.
Okay.
So the 7% of the business is compensating for 30 basis points overall drop in margin. So
Treasury gain is also there, no?
Okay. So treasury gains would have been a major contributor in this quarter, if I were to think from that perspective, considering the new businesses should be around 16.5% or 17%. Or it would be on a higher side.
All four put together.
Treasury gain will include income received on the investments also. So
74 crores
coming out of
India. Just go back.
Okay, and which is I'll just try to take this offline. But the second question is on that FY24, how the things would work. So if you can get
FY24 part to your question is basically, I think if your concern is there will be credit losses in the new businesses, we think that those credit loss, the increase in credit losses will be more than offset by the decrease in OPEX in the new businesses.
Okay, so you are building in the operating efficiencies that could compensate for the higher credit.
And that will more than compensate.
Okay, great. Those were my questions. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishin Chawate for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you everyone for joining us today. We thank the management for giving us an opportunity to host the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Thanks, Nishin. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much.
On behalf of Kotak Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.